Hey, here we go.
It is a Thursday. Chad Hartman here with you. News Talk 830 WCCO. Our guy, Brian Belsky, BMO Capital Markets Chief Investment Strategist, is with us. The first question is going to be simple. I want you to respond. I'm going to ask it to Belsky, but I want you to respond also on the Lindsey Brown talk and text lines. Are you today, as you are listening to me, listening to us, listening to all of us here at CCO, are you better off financially now than when Donald Trump was inaugurated late in January? Simple as that. Belsky is our economic guru. I want to see what he has to say, but I want you to text me. If you want to make it yes or no, fine. I'd rather have yes and an explanation or no and an explanation. Are you better off financially now than you were when the president was inaugurated for a second time? I do have to break some news, though, involving your ball club. And this has just happened in the last few minutes. The Twins and the Phillies, not one deal, two deals. The second deal with the Phillies and Twins announced just the last couple minutes. Harrison Bader, who's been very good for the Twins, he's going to Philly. Going back to Philly for two prospects, outfielder Henry Mendez and Jeremy Valoria. I know you have all their albums, so I can't wait to hear your breakdown on Mendez and Valoria. But it's a rental, and Bader was good, so I doubt these are very high prospects. We'll give you more later on that as the home of the Twins, and Belsky is a passionate Twins fan. We'll get to a little Twins talk later. Okay, Brian Belsky, you're a Willmar native. If you're living in Willmar today, should you feel like you are in a better financial position today or a worse financial position today since the president was inaugurated in January?
Hey, thanks a lot for the lead in. You know, here comes the guy from the Canadian bank, so let's just say.
Yeah, we don't
want out Canada.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyway,
are you in charge of the smoke, Belsky?
You know, you can just listen. I'm used to being blamed for everything in my life, so just pour it on. I would say that they're better off, and people are going to go, oh, Belsky, always positive. But think about their 401k balance.
Hold on a second. Who is that there? I liked it. Now you do get ripped on here. You mainly get praised, but you do get ripped that you could be on the Titanic. Listening to the band as the water goes under. Okay, we all go
That's
down.
Right.
And you still be saying, I got a nice tan earlier today. You know, you are Mr. Mr. Positive here.
I am because I have faith. And, you know, the American economy, the American stock market is actually in better shape now than it was in November, principally because inflation has come down. What's really interesting is that you and I have been talking about unemployment. The unemployment rate has remained basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
Spending actually is up a little bit. Real incomes are up a little bit. And I know I started off with the 401k and stock market, but remember, you know, when you have, okay, think about this, when you have 96% of the country fully employed, they are most likely contributing to a 401k, or at least their company is, and those values are up. And so I think a lot of people lose sight in that. But I do think also, you know, the overarching theme of inflation being down, they are better off. I think the specter of inflation with respect to tariffs, something that we talked a lot about in April, was kind of a little bit early. And I think some of that is obviously following through not to be real.
Okay, so let's talk about the president. He has made some deals, but he's earning the taco nickname again today. The nickname, I don't know who first gave it to him, but it's the idea that Trump always chickens out on mm-hmm. the tariffs. And here the president has said over and over again that the upcoming August 1st deadline, which, oh, by the way, is tomorrow, that this was not going to move in any way. And guess what happened today? Another extension for Mexico. So I've learned this from many people, including at the top of the list, Brian Belsky, that the markets and the economy and citizens want certainty. We want to have an idea what is going to happen from day to day, and we never know financially what's going to happen day to day with the 45th and 47th president of the United States?
Well, I think there's a couple of differences. And you and I talked back in April about that uncertainty and what we were calling basically an exogenous event with President Trump and his Liberation Day stuff, which was, mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes, was a marketing thing. And if you go back and take two steps back and look objectively at all the deals that are in place, you have the major economies of the world in place, aside from China. And China has a lot of pressure from around the world, too, because the U.S. already has a deal with Europe, already has a deal with Japan. We saw the Korean deal. We saw some other deals in Asia. Mexico is going to be important in terms of putting additional pressure on Canada. Canada's been very stubborn. They're kind of taking two steps back going, whoa, wait a minute. And I think that's a major mistake with respect to how Canada is dealing with this. But I think the big one was the EU over the weekend. And so I think it's less about Taco, but more about him, art of the deal, and putting the pressure on it first and then easing up the pressure. And so again, call it Taco if you want, but it's actually quite effective if you want to be objective about it in terms of how he's rolled these deals out.
Okay, so let's stay with this. And again, our friend Brian Belsky's here, BMO Capital Markets, outstanding to us as always. In many of these deals, Brian, he talks about not just the tariff rate, but he talks about guaranteeing investments from fill in the blank, including mm-hmm. recently South Korea. Those are South Korean businesses investing money here. I'm hearing a lot of pushback from other observers saying, you know, the president is saying that, but there's no guarantee of that. It's not like South Korea is going to punish fill in the blank A through Z businesses if they don't invest in America. So does that sound good and there's nothing to it? Or is there actually some meat on the bone in this case?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, quite frankly, because you also have to see and understand, you know, kind of what that means. So for instance, look at BMW. Look at how many cars BMW makes in the Southeast, or Toyota. Remember when Toyota and Japanese automakers were absolutely crushing the American automakers in the 70s? And President Reagan went over and talked to Japan about bringing infrastructure here. And so that created some jobs. So it's not to that type of degree. Clearly, the American economy isn't where it was after a double-dip recession in the early 80s. But some of this is bringing infrastructure back. And you have to remember, too, let's take a bigger picture part of this. In his first administration, when he started talking about tariffs, for all intents and purposes, that's when China peaked in 2017. And you started to see infrastructure leave China in 2017. And so the onshoring, people like to call it, and reshoring, whatever, mm-hmm. yep. you're starting to really see that pick up, Chad. And I think this notion of who's going to pay the inflation side of things still is up in the air, but people have to remember that the strength of the United States stock market, I mean, look at the earnings and GDP and things like that. They have a lot of room with respect to the margin that they can squeeze out additional high prices while we get kind of things set level straight.
Okay, hang on, Belsky. I'm going to put you on hold. Come back more with Brian. I'm going to read a number of your texts when we come back. Are you financially better off today than you were when Donald Trump became the president for the second time? Yes or no? And maybe add a little context. How do you reach out? 651-461-9226. I want to tell you about Pella. I'm going to tell you about a company that I've used now for a second home. Moving's a pain in the butt. I'm going to get to a part of my life that is way, way more than a pain in the butt. One of the saddest days that I've had in a long, long time, I'll talk about in the 1 o'clock hour. Moving, when you finally get done, you're elated. And when I decided to leave this neighborhood for the first time in 2+ decades, I made sure the next house would have Pella windows and doors. Pella was just out the other day, helped me out with just a couple fine tuning, and as usual, professional, thorough, and friendly. Pella around how long? Try 100 years. How about a showroom? Plymouth, Woodbury. How about going to PellaNorthland.com? PellaNorthland.com and schedule them for a free in-home visit. Costs you nothing. At my previous house, they changed the windows and they dramatically changed my kitchen, and that helped a lot on the resale value. Good people, professional, and they'll tell you what's going on with your windows. I believe in them 1,000% every single day. PellaNorthland.com. Let me get to the first part of this from a number of texters. Our friend Brian Belsky is here. Let me first of all say Brian is highly, highly respected, and he's upbeat on the economy more often than not. By the way, he was upbeat on the economy when Joe Biden was president. He was upbeat on the economy during Trump's time. He was upbeat on the economy with Obama. So the number of people, oh, he's just MAGA. He's just MAGA in talking about this. Stop. Every prism that you look through doesn't have to be you're either on my side or you're on that evil other side. If you philosophically want to disagree with Brian, I get it. But the idea that you're hypothetically a righty, and so if somebody disagrees with him, they must be an evil lefty or vice versa. Life's a little more complicated than that. So Belsky's with us, chief investment strategist for BMO Capital Markets. And I'll get to Brian in a second, but I'll read plenty of your text here. Are you better off now financially than you were when Donald Trump took the oath of office for a second time? I don't know how they're measuring inflation, but go to the grocery store, out to eat. The stock market may be up, but for most young families, it is crazy expensive to put a meal on the table. More text. My investments are up, but so is the cost of everything. So, no, I'm not better off. Further, I don't credit the president with investment increases. Chad, yes, I'm better off financially than when Trump took office. However, this has everything to do with money management and nothing to do with Mr. Trump. Let's see. No better, no worse off for most people. It doesn't make a difference who's in office. Things never improve. More text. The higher grocery prices post-COVID during Biden administration cost me double. That hurt. Yes, better off today. Energy costs have come down. That's a part of it. Absolutely not. Insurance has doubled. Okay, what about, let's just go back to that, Brian. The other costs that are up, grocery store, in many ways, those costs are still up. Insurance costs are up. We're not selling homes the way we should have. Is that tied to Donald Trump? Is that not tied to Donald Trump? And if we're giving Trump tangential credit for other things, doesn't he have to take tangential blame for some of the other matters which are more expensive?
Great question, and I'm glad that you started with the whole notion of being so binary. The question was, are you better off? It didn't say anything because of him being in office. It was a point in time. That was the question.
Yeah, right.
And it speaks to people's binary answering of questions and the fear and negativity that's really, I think, compounded since COVID. I mean, I can go off and talk about that for hours, but at the end of the day, insurance isn't part of inflation. There's certain parts of food that aren't part of inflation. Talk about college tuition, which you and I went through several years ago with our children.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's part of one of the guys that works for me, he's going through, his daughter's going to Delaware next week, and he's freaking out about how much money that costs.
So good luck.
That's all part. I mean, good luck, man. I mean, that stuff just goes up and continues. But I think the issue is, you remember my famous line, politics have nothing to do with the absolute performance of the stock market. It's what's happening in the underlying economy and the fundamental parts of what's happening. So, again, you know, going back to the Biden stuff, remember, I was on your show in January of 2021, and I said flat out that my work shows that stock markets do better during Democratic presidencies, mm-hmm. of Democrats in Congress, and oh my gosh, did I get lambasted for that. So you can't make everybody happy. So at the end of the day, you have to think about America's strength relative to the rest of the world. And you got to think about how we live here. I know it's tough. It was tough when I was living at home in the 60s and 70s. Every generation, it's tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. And every generation is like, I can't believe this new generation coming up. My parents did it. Now I'm doing it to my kids. And so that's just the notion of what's happening. But the key thing is that wages continue to go up. And the key thing on the other thing that one of your texters said was a really great point. Energy costs have gone down. And it's not about drill, baby, drill. It's about just more supply has been on the market for a while. And, oh, by the way, more supply is going to continue to come on the market. And I think that's going to be a major, major play going forward. And I think with respect to the Fed sees how great the economy is going, and that's why the Fed didn't do anything with respect to interest rates.
Okay, costs. Let's just talk about tariff costs. When we're talking a year from now, let's just go tomorrow, August 1st, 2026. Will it be crystal clear that you, me, and everyone else living in America will be paying for these tariffs, or will we still be having this debate?
I think it'll be clear in terms of who's paying for the tariffs, meaning is it going to be the producer, meaning the company, or is it going to be the consumer? Some, you know, consumers are very happy paying certain kinds of inflation, whether or not it's airline tickets or hotels or clearly insurance or other things we just talked about. But I think what people are missing is that more and more producers, the actual companies, the food companies, the manufacturing companies are starting to absorb some of these costs. That's what's not getting the press because we automatically just go to the consumer and make these binary decisions. One thing I didn't answer before was this whole notion of interest rates and mortgages. Mortgages are tied to the 10-year treasury. The 10-year treasury is tied to the Federal Reserve and what happens in terms of interest rates. So those blaming any kind of government official, doesn't matter if you're right, left, or whatever, with respect to interest rates, can't do that because it's not technically correct.
Okay, so is Donald Trump wrong for all the blame he offers for Jerome Powell and interest rates? And how different was it the other day when it wasn't a unanimous vote on the rate increase, which rarely happens?
Dissension rarely happens. And I think that there's some members of the Fed that think that he should cut rates because of the trajectory of inflation. Right now, so just remember, they have a dual mandate, inflation and unemployment. Unemployment remains very moot, and inflation's really come down. But I think what Powell's waiting for is for inflation to go down a little bit more in the quote-unquote soft landing of this economy. And I wish I had time to – I was in meetings all morning, but I was going to look up and see who this the head of the Fed was during the Lyndon B. Johnson years. There's a very famous story that during the Vietnam War – President Johnson wanted interest rates lower because they're trying to finance the Vietnam War. And we had a massive stock bull market in stocks as well because we were all this CapEx in the United States. Anyway, there's this famous meeting where Lyndon Baines Johnson invited the head of the Fed to Texas. And if you know anything about American history, Johnson was a bit of a, let's say, he was a bit of a pistol. He had a little bit of an attitude.
He would try to intimidate. He would get in your face. He tried to overwhelm you.
Correct. So there's a story that he literally threw the head of the Fed up against the wall, picked him up and said, lower effing interest rates now. And the guy didn't. Same thing happened with Nixon during the end of the Vietnam War. Toward the end of his tenure, and then probably the most famous story of all was with President Reagan and Volcker. There's two stories with respect to him. So this has been going on for years and years and years and years. So you're going to ask me, do you think the Fed should remain independent? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, positively, yes. They have to remain independent. And Trump, remember, is He's a marketing guy. He's going to talk. He's going to keep on jawboning. I actually think everyone's convinced he's going to look for a new Fed chair in 8 months. I'm not so convinced.
You think he's going to keep Powell?
I think there's a chance.
Okay.
How
much you want to wager on that one? Okay. You pick the restaurant in town. I'll pick a restaurant in town. We'll be going to my restaurant. You'll be buying. There's no way he's keeping Powell.
I don't know, man. I'd be surprised. I would be. Just think about what Obama kept Bernanke. Part of that was the financial crisis. Remember, Obama kept a lot of Bush people on during that transition. I think that could surprise you, especially if Powell starts cutting. Think about that.
Yeah. All right, my friend. I will see you soon, and now I know you'll be buying me dinner at least twice, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Brian Belsky. Remind you, Twins made another trade about 30 minutes ago. No, not Griffin Jacks. No, not Joe Ryan. No, not Carlos Correa. Harrison Bader's going back to the Phillies. The Twins get two prospects. So Duran yesterday to the Phillies for two higher-profile prospects. We'll get to that. I'm not thrilled with return. We're hopeful that Derek Falvey's on the show tomorrow. I'm going to talk right now about where I'm going today at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock today, I'm going to Stretch Lab. I'm doing a 25-minute session. I've done the 50-minute session. I do them both. I'm going to the Plymouth location. Double-figure locations in town. Why am I going to Stretch Lab? First of all, I did stretch at home today. We all should do that. But also use trained specialists at Stretch Lab who are work with your body. Let's say if I go in and Lindsay goes in and Belsky goes in, it's not the same stretch. Whatever issues that Lindsay might be facing, different than me, different than Belsky, one of us might be in better shape. One of us might be running a lot. One of us might be never finding the middle of the club face anymore. Like, never. Like, I don't know how I found it before. That might be me. And maybe wants to stretch more. And maybe get back to those better positions I was in. You could be a 10-year-old. You could be an 85-year-old. Stretch Lab, highly trained, highly informed. They'll work with you. And they're good people. Check them out online. I've been going since 2019. And no chance of stopping. StretchLab.com.